Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. Eastern Time, that is. And today's date is 9/9/2023, and you tune into the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Michael Gay. And wow, what a week it's been. Basically 2 weeks, to be honest with you. It's been a crazy stuff that's been going on. Some good things and some horrible things have been happening that we are going to talk about. We have a few topics that we're going to talk about, and I'm going to get into some of the good stuff, some of the bad stuff. And then in the second hour, we have some special guests, individuals who worked in law enforcement, from Officer Crenshaw, Officer Harper, and a lawyer, Mr. Lyle Dixon, is going to be joining us, because we're going to talk about, you know, crime, justice, based on what we've been seeing. You know, what's justice? What is the crime? You know, and so these individuals are going to give their point of views of what they've seen, what they know, their experiences. And actually, we've had both of them on the show before, so I'm looking forward to coming back and looking at what we're seeing now. How do you address this stuff? How do you handle this thing? I don't know if many of you have seen some of the videos that came out this week, those infractions, I guess you can say, or those killings or murders, because one officer has been arrested for murder. happened last month, and finally we're getting a chance to see the video. We're finally getting a chance to see what really happened. And I don't know. I don't know how to address it, so I try to get to the individuals who or contact the individuals who have experienced it, you know, the officers, the lawyers who have to be in the courts and try to defend an individual or try to convict an individual. So we're going to get into that in the second hour. But right now I want to say this is that where I want to give a lot of respect and condolences to my right hand here on the show, Janet Davis. Her less than 12 hours, she lost two of her closest pets, right? Yeah. She had two dogs. She's had them for like 17 years, I think she said. And in less than 12 hours, she lost one, unfortunately, was really ill. She had to put him down. But then she let one out and let him go out like normal, you know, how you do with your pets, let them go out and do their business, everything, and disappear. Unfortunately, what she realized is that where there was a backup of cars on a street, Janet has a nice, you know, house, nice spread, you know, everything. The dogs has access to everything, but come to find out, it was her dog that got hit by a car, and that dog normally would not go out the yard, and you know, she's really dealing with this in a way that I have to commend her, because she's not like crying and everything when I'm talking to her, but I'm sure it hurts her heart, and you know. Same thing with me. I've had that happen too. You love your pets. They don't talk back. You know, they love you just as much as you love them. But for her to lose two within 12 hours, that's gotta be really tough. You know, after 17 years, just back to back. So you guys keep her in prayers. She's not sure she's going to be able to make the show, which I understand that. I mean, that's got to be tough, you know. So send prayers out to Janet, and maybe she might stop by for a moment. I don't know, but we'll see. But yeah, it's got to be tough. I've gone through that myself, you know, with pets. They're like family, you know. Again, they don't talk back. Not really, you know, but yeah, I was really heartbroken personally to hear that from her, and I know that's something that's really sad at the moment in time, but we're going to get moving forward, and I'm going to go ahead and open up a mic of a co-host here, the one, the only, Mr. Timon, who always tells me, now, Mike, there you go again, Mike. You open up a can of worms, Mike. Look out now. Come on now. You better be careful. Shiv is on the line. Timon Shiv, how are you doing? Happy Saturday, my brother.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Just coming in from the grocery store.
I'm
trying to get everything, you know. Just coming in from the grocery store and gathering all my stuff, because, you know, got to restock for the week.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know if you got the first part, but I was just letting folks know that the lady of the house, Janet, may not make it. She says she's going to see how she feels. She lost her two kids, meaning her pets, okay? Both dogs passed away within 12 hours, and that's just crazy to hear, but she's had them for 17 years, and I'm like, wow, that's like family to many folks, you know?
Right.
And, you know, with all due respect, I told her, she said, well, Mike, I don't think, I said, hey, don't worry about it. You don't have to come on the show. She said, well, I'll try. I'm like, no, don't worry about it. You know, don't worry about it. We got to do what we got to do. Though we have some great guests that come on in the second hour, I would love for her to be part of it. But you know, I mean, that's something. The way it happened, as she explained, that one dog was ill, this and the other, and you know, she took it to the vet, and you know, it was like she had to put it down. But then the other dog goes out on the road and gets hit by a car, which that dog would go out on that side of the road. Yeah. And then the dog lived, but then when they took it to the vet, they said, well, probably got internal bleeding and everything. And as we all know, pets can't talk. They can't say, I feel this way, that way. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So she had a really difficult decision here. And then if you look at the cost of pet care, it's not cheap. My niece, that's what she does. It's pet insurance. And that blew me away. She told me about how folks will pay thousands of dollars to try to save a pet. But is it really worth it? If the dog is over 17 years old in human life, human years, but in dog years, a year is what? 7 years?
I don't know.
Yeah. So, but I'm just sharing that just to let folks know that, you know, Janet may not make the show. She's, you know, she, this happened within 12 hours time, both dogs.
Right.
Put down. So I understand that, you know. But let me go ahead and bring in another co-host here who's also going to be a special guest here when in the second hour. We have two individuals that are going to join us. They've been on the show before, and that would be Officer Harper and Attorney Lyle Dixon is going to be joining us in the second hour. As we talk about crime, and also we're going to talk about justice, okay, and what's been going on here. We're going to get into a few things now, but we're going to keep this show going about that. So let me open up the mic right now for this hand that's waving, the one and only Mr. Jeffrey Grimshaw. Hey, what's up, Officer Grimshaw?
Hey. How y'all doing today?
I had to put that roll in that last name, you know. Grimshaw, like the Hispanic type thing.
I hear you. That's okay. I'll be Desi Arnaz today. That's fine.
I like how you came with that.
That comment I heard
Desi
earlier.
What's that?
Hey, I was just saying hey, Timon, to you as well, and my apologies for being
a
little bit late. You know, I'm good.
How you doing?
I was. Hey, better now. I'm no longer stranded.
What?
You know that old song.
You're no longer stranded. What now? I'm sorry. Stranded.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, real quick, before we get the other individuals on the show. We got other topics we're going to talk about, but have you seen some of the stuff that has been going on recently, before we really get to it, though, but have you been paying attention to what's been going on, not just here in Fulton County, Georgia, which, by the way, for you listeners, Officer Crenshaw and I and even Janet live here in Georgia. Timon lives on the West Coast. There's individuals who call in that live elsewhere. So for you guys who don't realize, we all don't live in the same neighborhoods. But we live in different states and everything, and we try to share certain stories and certain things that are happening in those jurisdictions, right? And so I just wanted to ask you, though, Officer Crenshaw, have you been seeing what's been going on basically here in Georgia? And then I want to see if Timon can share a little bit about some of the things that are going on in California that we don't know about? Because I do watch it, but have you been following it?
A little bit here and there. Mostly been just, I don't know, I kind of stay in my own little bubble now, but, you know, I've been hearing mm-hmm. bits and pieces like the situation in Atlanta with the new police academy they want to open up, and they're calling it Cop City and all of this stuff.
Right.
And then supposedly you had an officer on working an accident. It was an accident, and when they was dealing with the man, he supposedly died while he was being transported to the hospital after he got belligerent and they had to take him to the ground. I mean, I haven't seen any of the videos or anything, just hearing things about certain things.
Right. Okay, so now let me switch that over to timing. What's going on in California that you've heard about, or if you've been following the news of something that's going on there that folks have thought about?
You know, I worked at probation for 30-some years. We just had a brother die, got off work, and he just got off work, walking out his building, got to his car, and dropped dead. Massive heart attack, 46 years old.
Okay.
So, you know, the
right,
job
okay,
is,
so
he's
got,
is,
right. So that would be considered a natural cause. What I'm saying is that when it comes to crime and if it was was it something that someone tried to rob him? No, obviously you said that. Was it something where he got pulled over and everything? As Officer Crenshaw was saying,
his brother was just at work. I mean, what I'm saying is the L.A. County, that the probation department and dealing with the juvenile justice system, dealing with system period, has gotten hard.
Mm-hmm.
They've been so busy paying attention to what's happening to the minors, you know.
Okay.
But you're not paying attention to what's happening to the staff who has to deal with those minors. That's a very – this job, man, the stress level has went through the roof.
Okay, yeah, okay. I mean, this is
getting to the point where they want to shut down the probation department, but they don't know how to do it because, you know, you got some people that still want to work there because it's a good job and it's got benefits. But then again, what are you signing on to? You know, are you signing on to something that can eventually kill your ass because you ain't got no backup? Thing that I can remember that's happening here, you know, other than our usual homeless issues and, you know,
so what
other
you're
crimes
saying is that, but what you're saying to me right now, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be rude, but things that were, it's on my mind. So you're saying that you equate that as being the stress of the job, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, Mike, you have to put on your game face when you go work in probation. Officer Crenshaw know what I'm talking about. When you go in the deal, in this deal, you got to deal with somebody who is there to blatantly ruin your day.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is say, when he said, well, man, hey, I need you to, no, we ain't doing that today. What? Okay, home, I'm going to kick your ass. You want to go there? Yeah, we can do this, you know. And so now you got to go into a whole nother mode because he going to try to catch you slipping because you won't do what he wants you to do because they've created this monster. This monster has no structure. This monster has no discipline. But yet he's got laptops and hotspots. He can do whatever he wants. And they're going after you. The cameras are pointed on you. The cameras ain't on him. When he's the problem, you know. And so when you go to do your job, you know, hey, and somebody's threatening your life and you got to go in and you can't relax. Right now, man, hey,
mm-hmm.
you cannot. My job used to be, man, all you had to do is walk in. Hey, man, see you later, man. Have a good weekend. No, no, no. Now they're saying, hey, man, be safe. Be careful. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Always, amen. Always check your side, man. Who you working with? That's another thing. You got to know who you're working with. Because if you don't know who you're working with, that might be that staff that lead you hanging.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a whole different thing now. You know, they call them. That's why, you know, I'm going to work for probation. Really? Yeah, they just walking them right into the lines then. Young if you're in your 50s, 60s, bruh, if you ain't working, that dude died at 46 years old. That's way too young to be dying.
Mm-hmm.
Massive heart attack? Come on.
Mm.
And what I'm saying is it's stress on both ends. You're getting stress from the juvenile, but you're also getting stress from your upper echelon administration.
It just burns you out. Right, exactly. And that actually goes across the board, regardless if you're in law enforcement. That's just every day with folks that just have their regular job, right? You know,
right.
They have to deal with upper management and everything, and upper management wants you to do the impossible. I get that.
Right.
Okay.
But where you work at, if somebody come in there and mouth off at you, and you mouth back off at them, the worst that's going to happen to you is they're going to complain, you'll get fired. You know,
correct.
In some other jobs, the worst that can happen when the complaint goes through is that you get incarcerated for defending yourself. You get charged. You get indicted. They look at probation and law enforcement as if you're guilty until proven innocent, not innocent until proven guilty.
Well, now hold on. Let's pause on that thought, okay? Because there's been a lot of different things that have been happening now, for months and everything. Okay, if you look at the guy who escaped from the prison in Pennsylvania, okay, they fired the individual who's in the watchtower. There's an individual just this week. All this happens within 1 month. Just this week, an officer shot and killed an individual inside a vehicle, saying that he thought he saw a gun. Now, it might have been a knife is what they're saying, but he's inside the car. And according to the police department at that time of the report, when the police department made a statement, said that the individual was outside of the vehicle, the video, which, by the way, for anyone who's listening, this event had occurred back in August. The guy never was outside of the car. So why would the police department make a statement like that? And when the video shows, that's not true. And it shows why people don't trust law enforcement, because you're jumping and saying, oh, he was outside of the car, he threatened the officer. That wasn't true once we saw the video. Why would a law enforcement say something like
that? Law enforcement, the environment in today's world has gotten so bad that not only do people not trust law enforcement don't trust people.
I understand that, but if law enforcement would not break the law, no, hold on a minute. Now, all I want to say is this, and I'll shut up and let you guys respond to it. But the thing is that they knew there was a camera on the officer. They knew eventually they had to look at that shit. They knew later on down the road that there's businesses that have cameras. So for you to say this individual got out the car is a blatant lie. It's blatant.
But see, what you're asking, Mike, you're asking us to put on that person's pants and shoes. I can't tell you why they said that. Because the first thing I would have said was no comment while it's under investigation.
I can't tell you why they said that. Good answer. Good answer. But what they did, they jumped the gun and tried to defend. No, what they basically did, though, Officer Crenshaw, in all due respect to you as being a good officer, they were trying to protect their own. They were trying to protect their own, right?
Well, you got to look at it more ways than them protecting their own. They were trying to protect their own, but they possibly was only going off of what they had at the time, which was the statement made by the officer who was trying to protect his ass.
Exactly.
Okay? So, therefore, before you make a statement that you don't have all the facts pertaining to it, you shut your damn mouth. You don't make
a comment.
So,
isn't that a failure?
Wait, Mike. The mayors have done it. The governors have done it. And then they don't really want to walk it back. So they kind of float it back when all the evidence and the different things come back out. And I say float because shit stinks and it floats. Okay? They want to float it back. So I see what you're saying, but the world that we live in today, the environment as far as all of that, too many people walking around damn angry. What are you angry for?
Okay. Okay, but
bread,
I want you to
water.
Keep that. I want you to keep that thought when we go into the second hour with Officer Harper is going to be joining us. Also, Attorney Dixon is going to be chiming in and sharing his knowledge of what you can or cannot do. Okay, I want to just go ahead and throw the ball over into Thomas Court. What's your thoughts about that whole thing that we just said? The fact that, and I want to go into that whole story of where this officer shot up this guy, okay, and all that stuff that happened at that time. You know, for the police department to make a statement before they actually did a full investigation and claim this individual was outside the car. Now, me, personally, and you, and I'm sure all of y'all know, if this is an outdoor event, probably there are cameras in that area. Hell, you got cameras at streetlights hanging on the poles. I would look at those before I make a comment saying, oh, he got out the car. Now we find out that where cameras are showing, no, he was never out the car. It's like Keystone Cops in my opinion. It really
is.
You're not investigating it. Only thing I'm saying is this, and I'm going to shut up and let both of y'all respond. You are making a comment or you are saying something here before you even investigated all the things that you had at your hands to look at before you claimed he was outside the car. You went by what the officer said, right? And you made it a public statement. You can't do that. That's what they did.
Right, possibly.
And now guy did not get out the car.
You got multiple entities. You have multiple entities requesting information. Some people panic and feel like, okay, I got to give them an answer. I ain't got to give you jack shit. Okay, let me find out what's going on then.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Officer Crenshaw.
Right, and then
That's what the police department did. They gave an answer before they even tried to do an investigation, before they did the simplest thing. The simplest thing is look at where... Do we have any witnesses? Do we have a camera is a witness. And there's businesses around there that have cameras. So they went ahead and they did make it a public statement that he got out the car and he never did. We see now.
Yeah.
That's a lie. So how can I trust the people who are supposed to be in charge of law enforcement of what they tell me when they did not investigate it correctly, and now I find out that was a lie. How can I trust you? You know what I'm saying? How can I trust the police chief moving forward? He shouldn't even have a damn job. Go ahead, Tommy.
Mike, human error will always be there. And it used to be a thing that we used to say at probation at my place, if you don't write well, don't put your hands on them kids. Okay?
This is a human error.
The one thing about when you don't write well, you get yourself in trouble. So a lot of these guys that say they want to be cops, you know, that they want to be, you know, top of the line, they want to do this stuff. Dude, you got to be able to write. Because you're going to get scrutinized because of all the guys that came before you who made a lot of mistakes, who made a lot of dumb things. Your writing has to be better. You're almost, you know, writing. You know, we used to say at our job all the time, man, hey, man, you know, that's why you have to know how to structure. That's how you have to know how to make, you know, quick decisions. You have to have the proper training and everything. And you just can't pull. When you pull that gun, okay, you better be sure that what is. But I mean, before you pull that trigger, you know,
you better be ready to pull that trigger whenever you pull that gun.
Sure.
Right.
Because you're gonna get scrutinized anyway. One, you're a cop, and it's because of the history of the police. It's not because not to say every cop is bad, because they're not. But when you don't get rid of the bad apple, and you keep them around. Like we just found out there's a gang unit with LAPD. We found they were stealing shit. Okay, they had to suspend all them cats because they were stealing stolen property. Like, you know, they find the property and then they sitting up there divvying it up, and they was part of a gang unit, and they're stealing the stuff. So now you've been turned into a criminal. You know, it's that. You know, I had those guys in my job too. You had guys that, you know, no matter how much money they're making, it ain't never gonna be enough, and they end up doing something stupid, like they just busted that cop for sleeping with that prostitute. You know, he was caught on camera hugging on the prostitute. Then they went and he screwed that girl in the police car. And they got him all on camera.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah, got him on video. Mm. Now the wife can call him. She had already accused him before. Now you're getting ready to lose your job because you made that decision, and you did it on the job, you know, because you are held to a higher position in our society, and you have to watch the decisions that you make, you know. But I don't think that we should demonize all cops because we got one or two bad apples. But also,
you know what I used to do?
I think the job is harder now, even with all the cameras and everything, because everybody's looking to get you. And it's a hard job to do. You know, we had that smash and grab stuff going on here in L.A., and we wanted, you know, I want them to catch them dudes. You know, I want them locked up because it's wrong. Because guess who's going to pay for that? All they going to do is charge that to the consumer. So that's why your price is good. Cause, so if I'm an insurance, you come to me and all your windows, your place been robbed four or five times within the month, you're going to come to me, the insurance guy, and I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. Guess what? Next year your insurance bill going to go up. And then you're going to take and pay your insurance. You're going to pass that money right on to the consumer who's buying your product.
Yep. Right. Okay, so can I say this, you guys?
We're screwing ourselves, and we don't get ahead.
Okay, so I have to say this, you know, you guys. I was not planning on talking about this topic until the second hour, so I apologize. Normally, you know, we always do the political thing, because in the second hour, that's when I really want to talk about this, when we bring in the other guest that's going to come on, which is Officer Harper, and Attorney Dixon is going to be joining us. I want to go back to the political thing here that has been that has been going on. And I'm sorry, I'm changing gears back to what I actually planned. Mark Meadows was asking, you guys know who Mark Meadows was, with Donald Trump and everything. We already know about all of them coming here to Georgia. And Mark Meadows was trying to get his case moved over to federal court. Many others wanted to move to federal court. The judge at the time, this week, said, no, that won't happen. So now, is that a message to everybody else, of the 19, including Donald Trump, that this won't happen? Is that a message that, no, you will be in state court, not federal?
Yes.
You think that's the
it
case?
It should be a message.
Yes. Yeah. It is already been, it's going to be done.
Yeah, because
okay.
you can't be Batman and Robin. You can be one or the other. So you put on that mask and you work for
mm-hmm.
the government, you know, and then you put on the other mask and you trying to help the government. Which one you going to do, work for them or help?
Or an individual in the government that is trying to do something that is not correct within law, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I understood what you were saying, but you're right. You can't put on. You can't say I'm going to support the government, but then when this individual tells me to do something that is outside of the, you know, within the government. To do something for them personally that is definitely against, you know, the rules, you go along with it, well, now you're committing a crime. Right. Okay. So with that being said, when we look at what's happening here in Georgia, Officer Crenshaw, you live here. And I'm going to throw this in here because I think that the other individuals are not aware of it. You know Fulton County Jail. You've been an officer here. You've taken, you know, folks there and this and the other, doing your job. Based on the fact that it's being investigated at the level that it is now, federally, I mean, based on what we've seen and everything what we're hearing, was it ever like that when you were there, and what's your thoughts about how it is now?
It's always been a bad place, not mm-hmm. because of the area that it's in, but because of the building itself hasn't been completely maintained the way that it should be mm-hmm. for a prison. But if you can't get the funding to maintain it, it's not going to be maintained. Then they have the overcrowding
right.
of the prison system there, of the jail.
Mm-hmm.
What they used to do back in the day was when you lock somebody up, they went to city jail instead of going to Fulton County. They went to the city pretrial detention center. They had the option mm-hmm. to have an arraignment there, either plead guilty or plead not guilty, post bond, whatever they're going to do to say that they're bounding their case over to the state. Eventually down the road, they would get transported down to Fulton County waiting on trial, disposition, or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
when the two sheriffs at the time got into an argument, because one was asking for the money that it was due by housing the prisoners at city pretrial detention, and the one that was getting the money from county jail didn't want to share. So they just said, screw it, county charges, state charges, you go here, city charges, you go here, we're not going to help one another. And it just went to, you know, what do they call the hand wire in the basket, to hell or whatever they call it. It just went from there all crazy. Then they started housing certain prisoners because of the overcrowdedness where they shouldn't have. They should have had them on the other side of the jail, and you ain't got to worry about half the people getting stabbed or getting killed. But You also got to look at recruitment. The people that were applying to be sheriffs, detention officers, police officers had a shady-ass background as well and was getting caught up on it, either trying to trade drugs, sneak drugs into the jail, gang members, wanted for murder in another state that it didn't pop up on, all type of stuff. So unless they can do something as far as the recruitment efforts, as far as who they hire, the standards are better, it's really not going to change. Hello. I guess I was talking too much. It might cut me off.
Oh, yeah, he disappeared again?
Yeah, okay. You there, so I guess he didn't cut me off, but yeah,
no.
He got quiet.
Yeah, that's on his
Mike.
End.
Yeah, Mike stranded, sitting on the toilet bowl. To prove you're a man, you must wipe it with your hand. Stranded.
No, that's
yeah,
not the case. I was waiting to see who was going to pick up the ball and run with it. That's what I was doing. I was just dropping and waiting because all the time I was hearing that, you always interrupted folks. I'm like, no, I want to see who wants to go ahead and pick up the ball and run. But I was listening the whole time. And you're definitely on point. You're definitely on point. You know, but when you look at and we're talking about here in Fulton County, here in Georgia. The reason why I want to talk about what's going on as far as that jail, you know, they already said that inmates are able to make stuff because it's really falling apart that bad. They're able to take concrete and form stuff and use toothpaste and this, that, and the other to make shanks and this, that, and the other. And an individual, more than one, have died, you know, one for a misdemeanor. A misdemeanor. He's dead. And he died from bed bugs. His cell was infested with bed bugs. Do the research. Go online.
Well, Mike, bed they bugs. Make it so comfortable. They make it so comfortable for them in prison to be punished that a lot of them would rather stay there.
No.
Get
hold
out
on.
And
what
go
do you
out
say
on the
comfortable?
Street.
No, what do you say comfortable? What do you mean? You mean this guy, he's not a felon. It was a minor misdemeanor.
Right. But
go ahead.
Misdemeanor, felony, they get access to things that they don't have access to out on the street is what I'm saying. He might not have wanted to be there, and he got put there. And the reason probably why he got put there as a misdemeanor, which is a city charge, is because the state and the city has been fighting for over 10, 15 years who's going to house who. What I'm saying is you get a lot of prisoners that go back into the system. They're more comfortable there. They got laptops. They got computers. They got all
no,
my brother
Officer,
died.
Sir,
Hold on, sir.
If all due respect, this young man was a young man. He was not no older career criminal, anything. Young man, never had been there before. He was infested. His whole body was covered. His jail cell had a ton
of
bugs.
I'm not saying him, Mike.
The only thing I'm saying is that we're – no, I'm saying but now if you look at what I'm saying, the reason why I say Fulton County because this is the county that is prosecuting the former president and 18 others. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to be a situation of where that's going to come up as this stuff progresses. About, well, Georgia can't even take care of their own damn jail and everything. You're going to bring us down here and everything. You know, they're going to use everything possible to go ahead
right.
and use it, you know, as far as the Georgia government, which is majority black. They've already done it. They've already started it. They already went after Fannie Willis, trying to pull up her stuff, this and the other, you know, already down grading the situation in our jails. And now it's a federal investigation. My question is this.
If the government gives them $50,000 to improve situations in Fulton County, are they supposed to use it for the jail or for the school? Which one?
That's not enough
they're
money.
Because this is how the money gets distributed to the government.
Okay. If you have a
They have to apply for a certain amount of money, whether it be for the jails, mm-hmm. for the schools, or whatever. The government pretty much decides how much that county is going to get for that fiscal year. Then they have to figure out where that money is going to go based on priorities. The jail just hasn't been a priority.
And you asked me, does it go to the schools or the jail, right?
That was just a hypothetical example. I'm just saying.
Okay.
That
well, in a hypothetical,
the county's getting the short end of it because the county commissioners and everybody else are allocating the majority of the money that's coming into the county for other priorities. So the jail's not getting the money that it should get to better itself, to hire more officers, to clean the place up better. You know, at one point in time, a couple of years ago, they had asbestos going all through that building. Prisoners were getting sick.
Okay. But here's the thing I want to say.
When the commissioners start allocating that money.
I understand what you're saying, and all due respect. I really would like, you know, when we get to the top of the hour, so I can get, you know, another officer on here along with yourself, a lawyer who, you know, and everything. This is a great conversation. Where does the money go? When you claim we don't have enough money to actually do both,
well, Mike,
I think it would be to the jail. I'm sorry,
but
what did you say?
I'm saying that the whoever gets the money. Let me tell you something. When they're investing, it costs more money to lock somebody up than to send someone to college. Okay?
True.
These people know exactly what they're doing with that money. We just indicted a former board of supervisor at our job, Mark Ridley Thomas. He was funneling money through USC to his son to get his son through a nonprofit and to get his son a doctorate or whatever through USC, and another woman who was president at USC, and they were involved. You know, these people know exactly what they're doing. Like Officer Crenshaw was saying, you can say that dude died of bed bugs. You can they can say how bad it is. They know, Mike. All of them do. And they don't listen to the staff when the staff, I'm talking about the police officers or the sheriff department, those officers that work in those facilities try to tell the board of supervisors, hey, man, we need this, we need that, they need to fix this, because they know. But you know what they don't do? And it's all part of good management. You're supposed to listen to your people because your people have the eye and they can tell you what's going on. If you don't listen to them, you sitting on the outside trying to tell somebody what's going on the inside, you ain't going to get that right. They doing the same thing right here. Right now, that's what I'm saying, even at juvenile hall, they say, oh, the dude died, they put their hands on him and they twisted him up. They didn't tell you what he did. They didn't tell you he stabbed a staff and that you had to put your hands on these people. how else are you going to get it done? Because I'm telling you, man, they're not going to just, if you say, please, young man, don't do that. Please, can you go down? No, they're not going to do that. You've got to have the wherewithal and the people to take these dudes down. And if you're going to, if you're going to have discipline and structure, you've got to have discipline and structure in jails. I don't care where they at. That man, if they'd have had the discipline and structure, I don't think that man would have died. I don't think that man would have died if they'd have listened to their staff and told them that the issues that they had at the jail, and they would have got fixed, and that man would not have died. He probably would have been in a better cell and never in that situation. But because they don't do that, and because they're fighting over folks, and they look at people as money. Locking up people is big business. You know that, Mike.
So I know that. Yes, exactly. Thank you. It's big freaking business and things that were. And by the way, I just text a few of the individuals who were scheduled to come on at the top of the hour, and I asked them to chime in now ahead of the time to get involved in this conversation because that's what the next hour is going to be about. Yes, you are definitely right. It's big business. It truly is. And people don't realize that. Incarceration makes a lot of money for, you know, the state, for private industries, by the way, that incarcerate. You do have private prisons now. You know, so, yeah, it's big business. But at what point do we look at it where are we going to just keep on looking at, let's keep on incarcerating folks for minor infractions? And, oh, by the way, let's not forget the fact that even your government is saying, you know what, marijuana should not be considered an illegal drug. Should be considered kind of like alcohol. You're too high, this, that, and the other. What happens to the folks that have been sentenced for years for selling drugs? Or, I'm sorry, marijuana. What happens? Are their sentences expunged, or are they removed? Are they released from jail? I kind of wonder about how will this work.
Well, it depends. If they put a regulation or a stipulation on it based on the quantity, you know, then after a certain, if you were in possession of, just say, a pound of marijuana,
okay,
you can go to jail. But if you're in possession of a joint, you get a ticket. You know, now if you
but
got five joints.
Hold, what I'm saying is that where we have legal marijuana for, what is it called, medicinal purposes, right? Okay,
right.
So you have to go through, you know, like it's a controlled drug, right?
Medical.
Right. It's a medical drug. Okay, so, but if you are not an individual who's been prescribed that drug, yeah, it should be a misdemeanor, not a felony.
Right.
You're saying that if
right.
you got a pound of it, and I get what you're saying, you got a pound of it, you're out there selling it this way. But it's almost the same as alcohol. You know, we have to look at the thing is that where, you know, there was prohibition and everything where you couldn't sell alcohol, period. Now it's legal to sell alcohol if you have a alcohol license to sell it, okay? Even when you have an event outdoors, you have to have a license to sell alcohol.
Well, don't they
if
have,
they do... No. All I'm asking is that if there's someone behind bars right now, okay, for let's say just, you know, 6, 7, 8 joints, and they're doing, you know, 5 years, because at this point in time, it's illegal. But once you legalize it, which you're trying to do it, and make it a misdemeanor, and this person got a long period of time, do they release them from the jail? Because you
if you're going to legalize it, relinquish them from the remainder of their sentence and clear their record. So it doesn't show up as a, so it doesn't show up as an arrest.
Thank you. So it is astonished, right?
Right.
You actually astonish that part of their record, not anything else, but the marijuana charge.
Right. Now, that's all going to depend on the amount, the quantity, and the statements made at the time of the arrest. If you made statements, you were on your way to go pick up some more to go sell, or you just finished selling 5 kilos and this is what you had left over, whatever the case might be. Because now that adds into your character as far as the type of person you are.
But the statement
if you're sitting on the corner with your buddies drinking a bull and smoking a joint, let it be a done deal. No more different than if you were just drinking a beer.
But hold on.
I don't have a problem with it.
Hold on, sir. I think, in my personal opinion, anything that was of the past, as long as there was no one harmed or anything, you were involved in any killing and anything during your transaction, if you just selling, it doesn't matter the quantity. You were doing what the government is saying that they want to do now is sell a product. That's what you want. I mean, I think that all of that should be astonished, you know, because now if you're going to be dealing the same thing I was doing, you're being a drug dealer within the federal law.
But Mike, you can't do it that way. You can't look at it that way, because if they make rape legal now, and I'm in jail for 5 rapes. Come on. Somebody in there
Hold on. You're going way past. They'll never make raping legal. Okay.
Right.
But raping really was. No, hold on. Raping was legal back in the Western days because there was guys that were marrying kids that were 12 and 13 years old. To me, that's what. But let's get back to, you know, what's going on now, okay? These men should have never been able to marry and have little girls give birth. But that was okay back then. What I'm saying is right now, let's look at the reality of right now of where if you're looking at making cannabis legal, and there are people in jail right now who never murdered anybody, sentenced for years for, sentenced for many years for trafficking and this, that, and the other, don't you believe or don't you think that, you know, if America says, hey, you know, we're going to make this legal, this individual's been in jail for 10 years, you know, we're making this legal. Let's go ahead and let them go. They don't have no murder charge or anything. They were doing a hustle. But now we're making it legal. And in my opinion, I think those people should be released from jail. Okay? That's my opinion.
Okay, so
because
when they get released.
I think that's very wrong for someone to be behind bars for a product they were doing when it was illegal, and now you're going to make it legal, but still punish them. That's not right. That is not right.
So what restitution would they be entitled to once that happens? Would they be entitled to some money for the years that they served in prison, or just the freedom from being released? Because you know, all that's going to come about.
Well, there should have been a lot of restitution over centuries. We all know that, okay, for decades.
Yes, but what I'm saying
but,
is
you know, that
that's going to be one of that's
but,
that's going to come
but,
about. Somebody's going to sue and say
yeah,
they're entitled to restitution for the 10 years that they spent in prison, and now the government's making it legal, you know, just so the government can profit
mm-hmm.
off of it. But they didn't want me to profit off of it. So I'm entitled to some type of restitution.
Well, you know what? To be honest, yes, they should get that. Because the thing is that we're in my opinion now, I have to say this, I'm always going to say, in my opinion, yeah, because the government knows there's money involved. There's money. There's profit for the individuals that are making the laws. There's money and profit. They see it. So they figure, okay, cool. We'll tax it. We already have where folks can go ahead and sell medical marijuana, and they have to pay taxes on it, right, to the government, correct? That's already in place. So let's be realistic about the whole thing. You see it. You knew there was a profit, and you wanted part of that profit, just like any gangster or mob or anything, any, you know, all that stuff. They knew it. They just trying to, they never figured out a way of making it legal for them to tax you. And now they
so
see
if they come, if they're locked up for 10 years and they come clean and say, okay, I made X amount of dollars over those 10 years selling dope before I
no,
got locked
you ain't
up.
Gotta, No, let me finish.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Let me finish, and they say, okay, I made X amount of dollars over the years before I got locked up, and the government says, well, okay, we'll clean your record. We'll let you out. We'll clean your record, but you have to pay us the taxes off the money that you made before you got locked up.
No. No, no, no. That ain't the bargain, my brother. Hell no. I would never agree with that shit. How the hell am I going to pay you taxes? I've been locked up. What, you expect me to, you know, as I get out of jail, let's say if you say, okay, I'm going to let you out.
But you're saying.
And then when we go do. No, but you asked me to let you finish. I'm answering your question. Thing is that where no way in hell. And the question is that where there's nothing that shows record of what I sold. You're saying if I told them that, but I'm not stupid.
Right.
I'm not stupid enough to tell them this is how much money I made. No, I would be like, well, if you all been following me and everything, you should, you know, kind of like guess what you think. But there's nothing that's going to make it provable.
Right.
How much
so when
money
I go back
I made
to the
when
question.
I was just,
when I go to the question of restitution, how are they to determine the restitution based on the years incarcerated for a crime that was legally on the book for the crime that was legally on the book?
Now that's a good question. Restitution for the individual who was there when it made it illegal, made it legal to sell cannabis. At that point, that's when you owe me. At that point, that's what I'm saying. That's what you have to pay me because now you made it legal for people to sell cannabis. Not from back when I was a cannabis dealer, but at the point when you made it legal, now you owe me because I'm still behind the damn bars. And now you made it okay for people to sell it.
There you go.
Seriously, think about this. Not going back to when I was arrested, when it was illegal. It goes to the moment you make it legal and I'm still behind bars, you got to pay me because at that point, I'm illegally detained based on your law. I'm illegally detained.
But how do you grandfather that situation or that status in? Because when they were incarcerated, it was illegal, even though they turned around and made it legal during the incarceration. So how do
you
grandfather that in?
You know what? Only thing I can say is that we're at 7:04 p.m. right now, and we're into our second hour of the show, and I got folks here on the board, and we need to open up their mics. But that's a good, you know, topic there. You can't keep somebody behind bars when it comes to something like this. We're coming across a lot of things that have never been dealt with before. In my opinion, if someone is behind bars, this is my opinion, and if America or whatever state they're in decides to make cannabis legal, those individuals should not be behind bars. Unless there was a murder involved or a kidnapping or, you know what I'm saying, certain things
what
like
about
that.
A suicide? Where the person legally bought it.
No. What I'm saying, all of that I agree with you. But if they were just selling cannabis, then they should be released from jail if they are not tied into a murder, a part of a murder or suicide. If when they were going to court and they said, well, this individual, you know, committed suicide, as you put that in there, which I've never heard that to happen. But if someone got shot over a bad drug deal, or someone was murdered over a drug deal, then, yeah, I agree with you on that. But if you were just hold on, sir. If you were everyday marijuana dealer and got, you know, 20 years, then you should be released. Because if the state, now the country is trying to look at marijuana or cannabis as being just something just as simple as alcohol. I already mentioned that. You know, keep in mind the history. Alcohol was banned, but people found a way to go ahead and make it and sell it. Okay? And alcohol is bad. There's companies that are making billions of dollars every year. One, by the way, and I'm going to shut up and move on with the rest of the show and let you guys say your final thoughts on this topic. One was, the legendary alcohol company, Jack Daniels. Took them 150 years to actually come clean and tell the world, not just America, the world, that mash came from who? Who? Y'all know the answer?
No. Oh, a black man.
Ah, yeah. 150 years.
It was a brother that taught Jack Daniels how to make the original Jack Daniels, who taught Jack, you know, taught them how to make the whiskey. He took the recipe from him, and then now they're finally admitting 150 years later that that's what happened, that they, which, you know, that's how it's always been.
Mm-hmm. But that's the reality of it. And if you don't, you know, when you look at what's happening now where they don't want black history in the schools in Florida, hello, there's history that is there that they don't want, you know, not just black folks, but white folks to know the reality of it. And we're supposed to be in America, a country that respects diversity, culture. That's what we claim to be. But that shit ain't happening, and it ain't going to happen when you got individuals who are in fear of where, oh, well, you know, the black folks really get what they know in their history out there. It's going to make, you know, things totally out the way. It's going to be crazy. realistic to you what you pledge allegiance to? The United States of America. That's what you pledge allegiance to. You tell folks, put your hand over your heart. You tell folks at a football game, sing this song. But you never told us that all the lyrics weren't there. But once we found out, now you really upset.
Watch out, Mike. Watch out now. Watch out, Mike. You're going to get in trouble.
You know
you're going too
about,
close. You're
you
going too far, about. Man. You're going too far, Mike.
Tell them too much truth. Tell them too much truth. But a lot of folks don't do the research on certain things. I'm not a perfect person. I don't know everything. But when I catch certain things, I'll be like, and I question it. I question it. And when no one can give me an answer, I continue to investigate it. And I'm finding out that, hey, look, this is reality. This is truth. That's me. Be honest to yourself. And learn the truth.
My
hell, the truth sometimes, you know what? The truth sometimes hurts. The truth sometimes hurts. And sometimes you got to have a little pain and get over it, but accept the fact of the matter. Just accept it and adjust to it. Because I ain't going to lie to my kids, I have a grown son, but I ain't going to lie to my granddaughter. No. I'll be less of a man. That being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this segment of the show, get ready for our guests. I just see some folks on the board, and I apologize for y'all to be waiting. I had to schedule for 7 o'clock, so please be patient. We're going to take a quick music break, by the way. But to wrap it up, I'm going to let Tymon go ahead and wrap up his thoughts. Tymon, what's your thoughts?
On what?
On what we just talking about.
well, hey, man, like
you
I said, I just think, look, I think, you know, as far as marijuana goes and everything, it and, the whole drug trade, see, they've been waiting for somebody to get ahead. You figure the reason why it took so long is that everybody wants to get in front so they can make their money. Because they want their cut because they're trying to keep the little man from getting his cut, from them making money. That's now, look at me, look how long it took California to let it in, but now you're taxing the hell out of it. We didn't even have banks for it. Now, yes, you got to let all those people that you locked up for marijuana, you got to let them out. Okay, because you cannot, they found out that locking people up you cannot lock yourself up out of crime.
Right.
It's not a crime problem. You created the crime and you did not, you still have an issue of working, with the average, working with the average consumer. All this stuff is about, like you said, straight capitalism, free market. You're saying you want the government out. Well, the government is what's going to let the marijuana in. Any with all the drugs. The consumer is still the one you're trying to get to buy all this shit. But yet you don't want to pay. And then you're going to come down again. Say somebody opened up a marijuana factory like Amazon. There again, what you going to have a battle with? Are you going to have unions? Are you going to have health care? Okay? Because you don't want to pay the American worker. You keep creating all this technology that's supposed to make our lives more convenient, but you keep jacking up the price on everything. So which is it going to be? And because everybody's not trying to be rich. They just ain't. They just want to have a life, man. Do one day to pay his rent. You know, why can't our schools be free? Did you know every time we try to move ahead, they put a value on something? Something that's so valuable. So education has a value on it. Ask the average American, do they believe that education should be free? Half of them will tell you hell no, because they bought into the bullshit, because they think we're turning into socialism. But let it be known that in the 1970s, to go to Cal Berkeley, Berkeley was free, Mike. That's when you were still living in California. To go to college was free. You could have went to Cal Berkeley. All you paid for was your books. And then Ronald Reagan, who used to be the president of the Writers Guild, the president of the Screen Actors Guild, turns around and gets rid of unions and gets rid of all of those things that where people, you know, were benefiting from. He got rid of all the shop classes and mechanics and, you know, refrigeration. All this stuff was in high school. They got rid of all of it. Why? A lot of it benefited black people, because you could walk out of high school with a license as a licensed plumber, licensed electrician, licensed anything. You could. That's why people were starting families so early, because they were able to get jobs and pay for their – and they started their own business. It took all that away.
Well, what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick music break. We're going to come back live, and we are a little bit over our 7 o'clock time, but I see some numbers here on the board, and I'm going to go ahead and go into the green room. Yes, we have what they call a green room, and make sure it is my special guest, and have them chime into the conversation. You know, you're tuned into the TMGS. It's the Michael Gaze Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia, and we are very serious about what we talk about. And I appreciate all my callers, all my co-hosts, and all my guests that chime into these conversations, because I love hearing point of views, you know. It's a blessing to have this, and I'm so thankful. Let's take this break, and we'll be right back. Here's, let me say this. On the 20th of this month, Gwen Ross Hip Hop presents The Storytellers. She did her debut show last Friday night here on TMDN, and she'll be back on the 20th. This young lady I've known for many years, and I'm telling you, she pulls up some hip hop stuff. I know many of you will be like, what? I missed that song. I ain't heard that in years. And trust me, her first broadcast here was so amazing. So make sure, okay, this month, the 20th, here on the TMGN, the Michael Gaze Network, she's coming back with even more music. Old school, hip hop. Oh, wow. She's awesome. And then coming up soon, there's a new show that's going to be coming up on Sunday evenings, hosted by Damian Reynolds. His show is going to be awesome. He's broadcasting from Birmingham, Alabama. So there's a lot of things that's happening here. So I hope that you guys will continue to support and listen to the TMG and the Michael Gaze Network. Music break. We'll be right back.
This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Pump that bass.
Interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin from our on-the-spot passport.
Oh my gosh, the music just turns me on.
Thinking of a master plan.
Step with the record, step with the record.
Thinking of a master plan.
Step with the record.
thinking of a master plan. Cause ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I get deep up, still coming up for lint. So I start my mission, leave my residence, thinking how could I get some dead presidents. I need money. I used to be a stick up kid, so I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, this is a hole up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling, see still don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9-to-5. If I strive, then maybe I stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man do I miss. A pen and a paper, a stereo, a tape for me and Eric being a nice big plate of this, which is my favorite dish. But without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid, so I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. Don't have to test to see if I got pulled. Hit the studio, cause I'm paid in full.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Wait a minute, you better talk to my mother.
Welcome back to TMGSU Broadcasting. I'm broadcasting live from the TMGN Network. Hey, you know, I love that first segment of the show, and I appreciate it. I'm seeing that some individuals are listening to the show, and I got some guests here on the board. I was trying to reach out to some other ones, and so they should be chiming in momentarily. So let me do this real quick. And I think everybody's mic is open. I didn't mute anyone. So I want to go into some of the things that has been happening recently. Actually, I want to do this because I'm reading something I just got from somebody. So give me a second. Is everybody there? I want to make sure that everybody's mic is open. Officer Crenshaw, are you there?
Yowza.
Okay. Yowza. And also, Time and Ship is still here with us, so I'm glad of that. I know he normally spends us about an hour with us in the first part of the show. But I want the individuals who are on the board right now, I see your numbers there. Go ahead and hit the number one on your phone so that I can open up your mic when I address you, okay? I see your numbers on the board. Hit the number one on your phone. Okay. All right. I see one did so. So great. And so I can address you as we go into the next thing. You guys, I mean, we talked about earlier in the show, and some of the folks that are coming in late may not know about certain things. But, you know, I want to bring in a person that I invited to kind of share. Officer Huff is not here. Harper asked, how come certain charges that individuals get have lesser sentences than other individuals? You follow what I'm saying? He asked that question. And I said, well, let me bring in a person who works in the legal field, okay, who is an attorney. So maybe he can give us that answer, right? So I don't know, because it is a question that I always have. I'm like, well, this person who commits this crime gets a different sentence than this person here and there. How does that happen? Because I'm sure you guys know. You might question it. Wait a minute. He's selling weed. He killed somebody, but the weed dealer, or the drug dealer, I should say, I won't say this is a weed, but the drug dealer gets more time than the person who committed the murder. So please welcome, if you guys don't mind. I really appreciate this gentleman because he's been patient with me. He's really shared a lot of stuff that I question about, and he's back again. Please say hello to the one. I actually have to come on the show. Law, say hello to everybody as I give you a round of applause, okay? Is that
cool? Good afternoon from Las Vegas, Nevada.
You guys, welcome, Mr. Lau. Okay, come on, Chad, that's enough. Okay, crowd, stop. Okay, welcome, Mr. Lau Dixon, and I thank you for joining us this evening. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, so the question that an individual had, and they're not on the board yet, I think they... because they're an active officer, right? And they asked me when I said that I was going to invite you on the show to ask you this question. Why is it that in most situations, according to what he understands, is that a person who commits a actual physical crime gets less time than a person that's, you know, dealing with drugs gets more time? Do you understand the question?
I do.
Okay. Can you explain that? Because, I've seen that a lot.
Well, a lot of it depends upon the individual's background, their criminal history, what they're charged with, what the prosecutor can actually think that they can prove in court in front of a jury. It also depends upon whether or not that individual is assisting the prosecution in other investigations. And a lot of that comes into play to determine what the final outcome is for the individual that's charged with whatever offense that they're charged with. So there's a whole diverse world out there that comes into play. It's just like with the Georgia situation that's come up recently with the presidential election, you'll see that some people were actually charged and indicted and others were not. So they probably did something to assist the prosecution in making the case against individuals that probably weren't as cooperative. And so they're rewarded for that.
That's an interesting point. And I get that. And I thank you for explaining that. Now, you've worked on both sides of the aisle. You've worked as a prosecutor and a defense attorney. I'm sorry, a prosecutor and a defense attorney. Yeah, that's what I meant to say. There's been rumors.
And I'm a retired police officer on top of it.
And right. Yeah, trust me, I've seen your background. I do know that you are a former police officer. So you started off in that and then got into the – which is interesting. You got into the being a person who to either support a defense or a prosecution. And so my question is that there's been and I have a lawyer myself, by the way, you guys. My lawyer, if you live in Georgia, Melvin Nash, the best on the planet. And no, I don't get in trouble a lot, but I do have a retainer with him. Okay. And it's been over 20 years since I've gotten in trouble. Yes, I've been in trouble before, y'all. Come on, man. I'm human, like most folks. But, you know, it's a good thing to have a retainer, and I have him as one. But there's been rumors that sometimes that lawyers do communicate about certain cases and individuals that they're working with. Have you ever known that to happen of where lawyers, prosecutors, defense attorneys would network with each other in order to make a deal for a certain case?
You do it all the time.
Hmm.
That's why only about 1 or 2% of cases actually go to trial.
Can you explain that so we can understand it?
Okay, well, I know in your last episode you were talking about marijuana, things like that. So, as an example, as a prosecutor, we're interested in getting the big fish. As a police officer, we're interested in getting the big fish. So it's the prosecutorial discretion as to whether or not you want to prosecute somebody for an offense. And if that person is willing to become a confidential informant or flip on their higher-up dealer, you know, they may either face a lesser charge or they may not face anything at all as a reward for their assisting the prosecution in the enforcement of these laws. And it happens in many, many different types of cases.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you could just give us just a little idea of when you say many types of cases, is there one that comes to mind that, and not saying what really was, but, you know, just a little teaser of what we might think about that might have heard?
It could be like in a burglary ring, where they catch somebody from the ring and they give information about where the stolen property is located or who their co-conspirators are. I can almost guarantee you that it's happening right now in Georgia with the situation going on with the election. I know that the county prosecutor has indicted 19 people.
Correct.
There was
including
a request to indict an additional 20 people.
Trump. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I can assure you that there's
been,
probably...
Right. It was supposed to have been about... Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm going to say this for folks that don't know. Actually, they wanted to take 39 people to court, right? They really were looking at there was enough information for 39 people, meaning the grand jury, felt like 39 people should have been, you know, brought to court. Fannie Willis, okay, she chose to narrow it down to 19, right? So she didn't want to go after certain individuals who are very much well known in politics, and two of them are former senators. One is still serving, and she chose not to prosecute these three individuals. And that might have been a good move on her part. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. It shows a proper use of discretion, prosecutorial discretion. Additionally, I can almost guarantee, I don't know for sure because I don't have any personal knowledge, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of those 20 people that were not indicted have actually done some things to assist the prosecution in proving their case. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of those 19 that were indicted end up not going to trial, working out some kind of a plea deal, and testifying against others who were indicted. That's just the way the justice system works around here, because there's a good possibility these people are going to go to prison, and that weighs heavily on people's minds. It weighs heavily on their family, weighs heavily on their future. And so if they can get a nice plea deal, they'll take it. And again, that's why the vast majority of cases never go to trial. They work out a plea arrangement.
Okay. So if you don't mind, I want to let my co-host and my listeners there on the board, if you don't mind, ask you some questions about it. Let me see if Timon is there. Timon, are you there?
Yeah.
You have a question for...
Yeah, Mike, I'm here.
Okay. You have a question for Attorney Dixon.
Well, actually, he's, you know, I'm just sitting back listening. He's absolutely right. I mean,
the fact that, you know, as he's worked in law enforcement, you know, I commend you for that, and to be able to go from working in law enforcement to into becoming an attorney, which is an amazing feat within itself, and the fact that you have worked on both sides, that's great. I mean, I don't know if you heard, I worked for L.A. County Probation Department for 33 years, so, you know, we had to deal with, you know, attorneys and you know, dealing with juvenile criminals, and now to see the criminal justice system, they're trying to reform it all over the United States. You know, I don't care what state you live in, they're trying to reform because they found out you can't lock your way up out of this, the whole situation. You have to find a better way. And right now you have so many lawsuits because you got the minors are filing, the criminals are filing lawsuits, as well as now the staff is filing lawsuits, you know. So and until they fix that central problem, I mean, it's just seems like the only people going to win probably are the attorneys. Yeah, because you got to have them.
Okay. Also, I have Officer Crenshaw. Officer Crenshaw is on the board. Officer Crenshaw, you have a question for Attorney Dixon.
Hey, first off, what's up, Dixon? How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, man? And thank you for your service to your community.
Thank you. You know, when I was in the military, I didn't like lawyers because I had to bail a lot of my soldiers out, and the lawyers would give me hard looks. But when I joined the police department, I started working with a lot of lawyers. And one thing that I would do when I would train the officers, I would tell them, if you want to be successful as a police officer out here, you have to think like a lawyer. So where you went from policing, where you went from policing to becoming a lawyer, I know you know what I'm talking about, because it'll keep you out of trouble if you think ahead like a lawyer. So I just wanted to say thank you. I know a couple of guys that left APD and became attorneys, a couple of guys and girls. And we need people that's doing what you do that has been on both sides. They've walked in all the shoes, because where you have exploratory, what do you call it? It's like a discretion. The discretion from police have been taken away with the body cam. To where I used to let guys, I would catch smoking a joint, smash it in the ground. You can't do that anymore because it's on camera and your supervisor's raising cane because you didn't make a case.
Hmm. Okay. And you're saying that to say what? I mean,
that when they're working cases, they have the discretion as far as going after the big fish compared to the little fish, and they're able to work things out to where that was taken away from a lot of the street soldiers, the officers on the street with body cams, because they're afraid on both ends now because of the cameras. But I would tell them, if you ain't doing nothing wrong, hell, you don't mind being recorded. That's why I didn't have a problem doing the episodes I did on TV. I'm not doing nothing wrong.
Right.
I don't mind being recorded. You know, you might catch me digging in my nose or scratching my head or something, but that's about it.
Right. And for you all that don't know, that Officer Crenshaw was one of the first individuals to be featured on the TV show Cops back in the 90s, I think it was, here in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, so I'm thankful and blessed for him to be a co-host here and a guest this evening. I don't call him a co-host this evening. He's a guest this evening into the conversation. So, Attorney Dixon, what's your response to what he just said?
Well,
if you got what he meant.
I don't know what the cameras have done in regards to policies and procedures of police departments and the discretion that's normally given officers. He would know more about that than I do. I have not experienced that. When I was doing defense work, it was, you know, the case was already submitted to the prosecution and a warrant was issued and a complaint was filed. So I don't know how it takes care of the discretion. I still think it's extremely important that road officers have a lot of discretion in doing whatever it is that they're doing. Because to be honest with you, if you did catch somebody with a marijuana cigarette or something like that, the criminal justice system cannot handle every minor violation of the law that there is. And that's why the prosecution and defense lawyers enter into plea agreements, because it would just overwhelm the justice system. I mean, if you look at it right now, it already takes a year to 2 years oftentimes for a felony case to go to trial. And things happen in that 1 to 2 years that could affect the outcome of the case. You know, people move, people die, witnesses forget things along those lines. So obviously it's quite important for not only the police officer on the street, but for the prosecuting attorney to have a wide variety of discretion. And I think that's something that's happened in the recent situation up in Fulton County. And it looks as though that the prosecutor there was appropriately using her discretion, even though some of the people that could have been indicted received a significant vote against them with the grand jury. Obviously discretion is the basis for our criminal justice system. Not everybody needs to be prosecuted.
So let me ask you this question. I don't know if you guys have seen the video, but just recently, and actually this event occurred back in August, and now finally, which is good, that though it's disturbing to see, you know, at some point, you know, video is there. You know, whether it's body cam or a camera on the side of a building, of a store, and they start going ahead and investigating and ask the store for the camera and they see things. The thing is, I want to go into this one situation of recently, and I don't know if you guys are all aware of it, but I'm going to let you know. There was where an officer actually approached the car and said, show your hands, and 6-7 shots. Now, the police department said that the individual was outside the vehicle. As we see now, that is not the truth. That is a total lie. What do you think about when the police department makes a statement about something where the video shows that's not true? It shows where in 5 seconds an officer opened fire on them. So my question is, with Officer Quintrell, you know, if you've seen it, probably you may have, or you haven't, I don't know, but I recommend that you do look at it. The response time, you being an officer thinking that your life is in danger, and when they come to find out that the individual did not have a gun, he had knives in his car now. I say that he had multiple knives after the fact. But I want to ask Officer Crenshaw, what is the response time to use deadly force? What is it that officers should look for? And do they train you for that? Then I want Attorney Dixon to explain to me, how would you handle a case like this once you see this evidence of where my client, who's deceased, didn't have a weapon, and it was not dangerous to the officer? Officer Crenshaw, can I let you respond first?
First of all, Mike, you know I'm old school and I'm retired after 27 and a half years. So the way that they're policing now, you know, everybody's pretty much damn near afraid of their own shadow. They gave them all the tools on the back belt to use and told them when they can use it, but didn't tell them how to use it. I didn't have all of that. So if I approached a car and I thought I saw a weapon, I had options.
Mm-hmm.
And options wasn't to shoot, because, first of all, when I made that traffic stop, I didn't know who that person was except for what the tag information gave me. Could have been somebody different driving the car. Could have been children in the car. So I have options, okay? It looks like a weapon's in there. Show me your hands. He don't show me his hands, I draw my gun. Show me your hands. I'm not going to shoot. And then I have the option to retreat. Now, if I choose not to use those options, the option that I would use, if he's fumbling around, I'm going to put hands on him to pull him out of the car. Once I put hands on him to pull him out of the car, then I can gain control over him without him hurting me or me hurting him. Okay.
If the door is
unlocked, I had to do it in a I had to do it in a situation where I had a female that wouldn't get out, and she was trying to cut me with a box razor. You know, I wasn't going to shoot her for that because I could have bagged up and got away. You know, I waited till she swung, missed. I grabbed her arm and I start pulling her out. Not everybody you can do that way. So you can't armchair quarterback every situation, but God gave us feet. Back the hell up. You don't have to go into things head on, especially when you're scared sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
Good point. Okay.
So I already shared with Attorney Dixon. How do you – in fact, I'm sorry, Attorney Dixon, if you could just wait a moment. You got a minute. I want to let my other co-host chime in. If that was a situation for him, though he's not an officer, but how would you look at that? And I'm talking to Time and Ship. How would you look at that if an individual is in the car and you know, you're not really seeing a gun per se, but you see a knife? Would you use deadly force immediately?
No.
Okay.
If all I see is a knife,
say what you do.
No, I'm just going to, I might call for backup, you know, because especially if it's a female, you want some female officers there. But I would call for backup.
Well, this was a male. Yeah.
The more eyes
this
you
was
have
a male.
You're going to get me a camera. Because I don't think you ought to take a person down one-on-one by yourself. And one thing for sure, we got time. Time is on your side. There's no rush. We start rushing, people get hurt. So let's find a way that, one, nobody gets killed. And you don't hurt anybody, but you try to, you know, to have to, like, they had a situation in L.A. where there was a 60-something-year-old woman with a screwdriver coming at an LAPD officer. Told her to drop it. But instead of her dropping it, she rushed toward them, and they shot her. She's 60-something years old. My thing is, bro, you could have took her down. You saw what she had.
Now, do you think, can I ask you this? They
What's
shot
that?
With a gun. The question is, could they have tased her, and was there anything showing that there was a taser available or an officer had a taser in their hand?
They could have tased her. Like I said, you have several options, okay? You have to look at, you can see she's elderly. She's in her 60s at least. You know, they teach these guys hand-to-hand combat. You know, they could have took her down and snapped cuffs on her. A lot of times when you hit them people with that taser, those electrodes can cause your heart to stop. And especially if you take them down and you end up, you know, putting your hands on, because you're in a situation. But they're, like I said, you have to be
here's the thing. I'm gonna be the negative towards you, right? I mean, because a lot of folks would disagree with you of where, you know, hey, look, this person is trying to harm a person, and they got to do whatever they have to do, right? in order for them
Mike,
to go home.
Yeah.
No, 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 I'm just saying. Just hear me out.
Mike, one thing for sure. Being at my job,
just hear me out. What would you say to a person, okay, because, you know, all my shows are archived and folks listen to our conversations. There's individuals who would say, well, why did she have that knife, or why did she have that screwdriver? You know, if they had just dropped it, you know, a lot of folks make that type of
Mike, that the whole assumption and why didn't they do blah blah blah. You know how many times working at my job I got called motherfucker, or hey man, why don't you sit down, or hey man, why don't you blah blah blah. They didn't do that. And guess what? They took our pepper spray. They took our pepper spray. I don't have no taser. I don't have it. I got a 6'1", 190-pound stud who is refusing to do what I asked him to do. And maybe he's made a shank. I don't know. But still, I can't just go beat the crap out of him.
Right.
So we have to really think.
Because you would be in jail along with him.
You got to call for backup. You call for backup, and they had backup there. They could have took that old woman down and took that screwdriver from her and snapped some cuffs on her, or you could have pepper sprayed her and then, you know, did that if you want. There are ways. You have tools. Pull your gun and bust a cap in them. You don't have to do that. Especially if she's standing right in front of you. And you see she has a screwdriver.
Right, and that's why I asked that question. Now I want to go back to Attorney Dixon. You have to defend these individuals, right?
I have.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen your record. You have a great, in all honesty, you have a great response from a lot of folks that you work with. But how do you do that? I mean, how do you look at the whole situation? Because now it's getting worse and worse, because I've seen a lot of videos of folks that, you know, ran from the cops and be like, oh, they did this, you know, and now they want to do a lawsuit of how they were handled. Because some officers, sometimes once they catch the suspect that ran, they go beyond, you know, they start beating on them. And it's like, no, you're doing the wrong thing, bro. You can't do this. You're beating on this guy.
You've covered a lot of things in the last couple of minutes. First of all, let me comment about the administration of that police agency that indicated that that individual was outside of the car. That's just downright incompetence. I don't know if they lied or if somebody lied to them. But that's just downright incompetence, and somebody needs to investigate that administration. In regard,
it is a lot.
It
is a lot.
Well, I don't know what they were told. So obviously, if there was videotapes available, that would rebut anything that they said. And again, I don't know that portion of it. I just know that's at least incompetence. In regards to the situation with the officer who actually did the shooting. The law requires that you look at the officer's reasonable beliefs at the time of the shooting. I have never seen a police officer get stabbed through a car window with a knife, ever. I've never heard it before. I don't know if he reasonably thought that there was a firearm in there. I did see the video. I thought I heard him say, show me your hands or something along those lines. And then he immediately began firing. And he's been charged murder. I think he's been overcharged with the murder. It's at least a manslaughter. I think it's probably a voluntary manslaughter
case. Well, okay. Well, the thing is that I've seen the video and I've watched it. Many a times, it's been time. It was within 5 seconds. We all have cell phones that. Well, no, the matter is this: in my opinion, your thought process and your actions makes a difference in timing. 5 seconds. You're going towards a vehicle that is closed up. Okay, according to the police department, they said that this individual had exited the vehicle. That's not true. So that makes it really look bad for the officer
again,
and the
department. Again, that's a level of incompetence.
Information.
That's a level of incompetence from the administration. Clearly, the person was still sitting behind the wheel. But you also, because we haven't heard the perspective from the police officer, what was the police officer's reasonable beliefs at that particular time? Did he really honestly believe that there was a life threat going on that caused him to pull his weapon and fire at the individual? The jury is going to be the decision maker on that. But clearly, it looks terrible. And if his only defense was he pulled a knife, I don't think that that's going to rise to the level of finding him not guilty of a criminal offense.
Okay. Interesting thought process. Anybody want to?
You
got to
remember,
Mike.
You got to remember, like Dixon said, if the person was still in the car, gun, knife, cigarette lighter, the officer still had the ability to move to the back of the vehicle for cover.
Does he have a duty to move to the back? However, does he have a duty to do so? An officer does not have a duty to retreat. It is not something that's mandated.
But he does have a responsibility to protect himself and others. So if the retreat is part of his way of protecting himself, he can. It's part of his discretion.
But there's no duty for him to do that, and that's where I would disagree with you. Because of the fact that an officer does have to stand his ground at some point in time, if he would have retreated back, who says that that person wouldn't have taken off in the vehicle and there would have been a high-speed pursuit and they could have killed a busload of children? You know, it's a what-if situation. We have to deal with the situation as it stands. We have to deal with the facts.
Right, you're correct. But for him to draw his gun and shoot into the car, now this is Officer Crenshaw talking to you, okay? To shoot into the car, okay? Not knowing if it was a gun or not. If it was a gun and he clearly saw a gun, he's got to defend himself. Not knowing if it was a gun, my personal opinion, I would take my chances on stepping back with my gun drawn. If he takes off in the car, my radio is faster than he is. I can get on my radio, call for assistance, get behind him, monitor him. If I see him driving erratic or completely reckless, I can call off the chase. I got his tag
number. Let me say this.
If he's the correct person driving.
Let me say
but
this.
I understand what Dixon's saying.
Okay, so hold on, everybody, just for a second. Now, I want us to really continue on this conversation because it's very interesting. You know, if we look at what just happened, a man's life was taken in 5 seconds. They counted it. 5 seconds. They rolled up, look at the video, and not just the officer cam. There's another cam. There's another perspective of what had occurred. And this man was inside the car. He never exited the vehicle. Let's keep that in mind.
Hold on.
Let me finish, please. The police department said he exited the vehicle. That right there was false narrative.
We're not even concerned about that part. We're concerned about the shooting.
No. Wait a minute. Yes, I am.
Hold on, sir.
I'm concerned because that's what the police department put out to the public. Yes, I'm concerned about that. And I have to be. And anybody that has been following this case should be concerned. Because that's a false narrative. Why would you say that the suspect or the deceased individual stepped out of the car? The video shows you that never happened. So don't tell me, I don't care who you are, that what the police department, the law enforcement that is sworn to uphold the law, told me the truth. No, they didn't. Come on now.
And like Dixon said, that was
I'm not going to give them a pass on that.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about the emotions the officer was going through at the moment before the shooting when he pulled his gun out.
What I'm thinking is that the department took that officer's and posted it way before they should have. Now, I have to say this, or I have to ask this. Attorney Dixon, as an attorney, would you have made a statement without knowing the facts that you see? Would you have done some investigations ahead of time before making a public statement?
Well, obviously it was a ludicrous statement based upon what the true facts
exactly
really were. I don't know where that individual, the public information officer or whoever it was that put that information out, but it certainly stinks to high heaven that they weren't
Thank
even
you.
Close to getting the facts.
I think
we're all in agreement on that. That it was incompetence.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to review the administration policies and procedures to find out how that happened, because that just blows away any trust that the public would have in anything that law enforcement agency has to say in the future.
Mm-hmm. When I read that statement, and it's documented, Officer Crenshaw, it's documented. They put it out to their public. And then once this case became national, then that's when the questionable thing came about. How can a police department say, oh, it was this, he stepped out of the car? Clearly, the video shows he never got out the car. In five seconds, he was shot.
But Mr. Dave, that's really not the issue here. That's not the issue. The timing is not the issue here. The timing is irrelevant.
Yes, it is. In my opinion, it is. The timing is irrelevant in all due respect, sir, the timing is relevant of where you stop this person, you jump out the car, look at the officer who did the shooting. Plus, there's other videos that came out later. Keep in mind, these videos did not come out the day of the shooting. It came a month later. The thing is, the timing is the fact of where this officer, you know, walked up on this car. Now, we don't know why. I haven't heard. I don't know if you heard. Why did they go after this individual? I haven't heard that yet.
Well, I have heard what the news
mm-hmm.
reports.
Go ahead.
It's my understanding that it was an erratic driving situation, and it appeared from the video that he was attempting to park the vehicle possibly with the intent to try to elude the officer. That's what it looked like
to
me, and that's what...
So now you can lose your life for erratic driving. You ain't killed anybody.
Let's not be ridiculous now, Mr. Gay. That's a ridiculous statement. But the mere fact is, the issue is, what was the officer thinking at the time that he fired? So that is a defense. If the officer reasonably, and I emphasize the word reasonably, believed that he was in fear of his life,
or the fear of great bodily injury, then he had the right to defend himself. He had no duty
True.
To retreat to the back of the vehicle, and then the shooting would have been justified. But if his only defense is he had a knife in the car, the window was closed, and that it was impossible mm-hmm. for him to be stabbed through that closed window, then he probably acted unreasonably and is guilty of a crime, most likely a voluntary manslaughter type offense.
Correct.
What do they
the
have
the,
on
the
arrest
the law.
Warrant? Okay, okay.
Correct.
But what is he being – okay. So what is his charges right now? If you follow me.
My understanding, he's been charged
murder.
With a form of murder as well as manslaughter
mm-hmm.
and a few other charges, probably a felony firearm or something along those lines. I don't recall exactly
okay.
what he's been charged with, but the murder
no,
charge
you already said
seems to be an overstatement.
No, but you just said exactly what he's being charged for, murder. Now, I don't know if they really can say murder. I mean, you know, and a lot of folks don't understand the difference of murder, manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter. A lot of folks don't understand those terms, you know, and sometimes certain lawyers might overcharge, right? We've seen that happen in certain cases, okay? We know that. But I do know there's no way in the world that an officer should have fired into a car that had their windows up and then can find out that there's no gun in the car.
Well,
there
Mike,
was not.
You can't say that. You can't say that, Mike,
yes,
because if whatever he put his hands on resembled to that officer a gun, he's justified in shooting to protect himself. If he looked in that window and he saw a knife, he's not justified, which means he should have stepped back. And I know what Dixon said, but this is just me personally. I would
mm-hmm.
have stepped back to try to secure the vehicle and order the driver out. If he took off, I would have got on the radio. If he actually saw a gun. No. If he actually.
No,
if he had a knife.
All I'm saying.
Mike,
all I'm saying is that
if he had a knife that resembled. If he had a knife and he was holding it in a fashion to where it presented the image of a gun, he's justified. Because in his mind, and none of us know because we weren't there, that person was pulling a gun out on him.
Okay.
But if he could clearly see that it wasn't a gun, it was just a knife, and it didn't present to him, in his mind, a gun, he's not.
Okay. Now, let me say this. I love the fact that you're, be honest, Crenshaw, you're sharing of where a perception could be different from anybody else. My perception is very much different. Okay.
Well, until you walk
You spoke, sir, and I respect you, and I expect that, you know, any officer out there. But so then I should look at it where there's a lack of good training of understanding. A knife is not the same shape as a damn gun. I know that. Okay, so if you can assume that a person reaches for something, it's always the damn gun, you're out your damn mind and you should not be an officer. First of all, you should not rush on a car. You should do what used to be of where you can pull your gun and say, stop, don't move, freeze. Okay, you should not be chasing a person that's at high speeds that can put other folks into danger. You know what? There's, I don't care if it's a stolen car. There's a license plate there. You can run that plate and find out who that person is and locate them. You ain't got to be the hero of the day to stop them. You can
stop
them
later. Let me ask you this, Mike.
But
let me ask you this. Let me ask you two questions.
I'm gonna let you ask me, but I want you to finish listening to what I'm saying. In this situation, that young man should not have lost his life sitting in a car with the windows up, motor not running at all. 5 seconds. 5 seconds. Now you can ask me your question.
Okay, two questions. Can a cell phone look like a gun, or a gun look like a cell phone?
Can a cell phone look like a gun? Well,
a gun look like a cell phone?
Well, people are stupid enough to buy the
case. They caught them coming through the airport.
You asked me a question. I'm trying to answer you. People are dumb enough to buy cases that look like guns. I would never buy a case like that. But, you know, a cell phone is a block. A cell phone is black. Most of them are. Some are colorful. Mine, I have two. I have two cell phones. I have one that is my job phone, and I can use it for even my personal business, and the one that I have, too. So the thing is, I have a case that I can put both of them in. But the thing is that where you cannot assume that when a person grabs a cell phone, they're grabbing a gun, because they might be grabbing their phone to call a family member or something to say, hey, look, I just got stopped by the cops. You need to come over here or get my car, or whatever the case may be. In training, an officer needs to know if you're questionable about the individual, don't run up on them. Stay behind your car. You can draw your gun.
But you're asking somebody to make a split second decision in less than a split second. Now, question two.
No, sir. If you're by yourself, don't put yourself in harm's way. Stay behind your car door.
Why did you take the job?
Listen to what I'm saying. I know you've been an officer, and I know you know. But I'm saying in today's world, if I was an officer, there's no way in hell I'm going to try to be the hero and run after a person and thing. If a person pulls over and they stop, I'm not going to walk up to their damn car door. I'm going to get behind my car door, call for backup, because I'm seeing a lot of officers who are not calling for backup. And backup is not coming in time, you know, to pull up and block that person in. See, that's what needs to be done more so depending on the situation that you're stopping that individual for. I saw where a guy, I saw where a guy got pulled over, handcuffed, put into an officer's car or something. Let me finish. I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go ahead. I saw a video where this man was just coming into a gas station. He crossed over a couple of lines of parking spots. An officer on his own damn body cam just interrogated this guy for no damn reason. For no reason. He basically did not break a law. He's on private property. And I watched the whole damn video. I'm like, and this guy's like, well, I'm out of ticket books, but, you know, I'm going to let you go. And the guy said, well, you know, I didn't break really any law. I'm on private property. The officer still said, well, you know what? You're having an attitude and everything. Now this is personal. You're talking to me disrespectful. This is personal now. And I promise you, I have a video and I'll share it with you. That's ridiculous.
Mr. Gason,
go ahead. Go ahead.
Have you ever done a civilian ride along with a law enforcement agency?
I don't have to, because I have a lot of law enforcement
Seriously, I would highly encourage you to go out and ride at least one shift with your local law enforcement agency. They have civilian ride alongs with almost every department, and you might get a different perspective. And by the way, in regards to the shooting situation that we're referring to, he did have a partner.
Who?
So there was two officers there at the time.
Oh, he did have a partner.
Yes, he did.
See, I haven't seen the video. But, Mike, I want to ask you this other question real quick.
Sure.
You're driving, you have your grandbaby in the car with you. You get out the car and you walk around the passenger side to get your grandbaby out. Someone jumps in the car, takes off with your grandbaby in the back seat. You flag down the first officer coming around the corner and tell them what's going on, and they say, no, we can't chase them. How would you feel and what would you do? You want that officer fired for dereliction of duty, not doing his job.
No,
Wait a minute.
You're assuming what my response was. You asked me the question, but you didn't allow
me. I'm assuming off of what you just said about not chasing.
No, you're assuming.
So until you're in those shoes, you can't make that call. You can't armchair quarterback until you're wearing those boots.
I'm not armchairing quarterback. Okay, and let me let you guys know something. No, I'm not. I'm just looking at certain situations. Like you are coming up with certain situations. Not everything is going to be the same. There are situations that come up that You can't just assume that the cop can come and handle the situation. I mean, I'm 61 years old. I have a lot of common sense and stuff. And by the way, I have a lot of law enforcement in my family and lawyers. Okay, so I understand not everything is, this is not a perfect world. But when you look at certain situations, and the one that I was talking about, which you guys are trying to get away from, of where, why would you in 5 seconds unload 6 shots into a car with the windows rolled up that quickly? Why?
Because it's perfectly acceptable if the officer reasonably believed his life was in danger.
Okay, and that officer right now is being charged for what? Murder.
Okay, but has anybody interviewed the officer
What I'm saying is he is being charged for murder based on after the fact of when they actually did this. And this is what I think you guys are missing, what I'm trying to say. The police department said that the suspect, whatever he was pulled over for, which we have not really been given the total reason of why this even happened, was outside of the vehicle when he was shot. And the vehicle and the video clearly shows, no, he wasn't. So why would the police department make that statement and knowing that's not true?
I don't think they knew it was not true when they made the statement. They were probably taking the officer's word.
Officer Crenshaw, this was in early August, and they finally released that video just a few days ago. Why would a police department set themselves up for a lie? Why?
We can't answer stupidity, Mike. Whoever made that statement without finding out everything beforehand.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Okay. So going back to that was stupidity, as you said. Now, wait a minute. Let me finish. So Attorney Dixon, how would you handle this if you were the lawyer for that individual after what the police department put out there claiming that that individual was outside the vehicle? How would you battle a case like that? Because right there, the police department is admitting to lying. How would a lawyer deal with something like that when the lie was already put out? That was a lie.
you can't, by rules of the bar, you can't ask him to speculate on a question of that nature.
Well, by the rules of the law,
because
okay.
you're asking him, how would he defend that?
Well, no. It's not asking him about the person. So hold tight a minute here, because this is why I like these type of conversations. This is a lawyer, as I said, based on the fact if you're defending an individual, which we already know, and by the way, he's back on the board. If you were the individual to defend this officer, which is being charged, and based on what the police department did, okay? Now, I don't know, and none of us know, how that report went down. Did they just go by what the officer said? I don't know. That the officer said, if any other offender, well, I don't know what the if where the department took the officer's word and said that, you know, this individual stepped out the vehicle. We got to keep that in mind, no matter what. That was in the report. But when they looked at the video, it shows that individual, who is dead now, never stepped out the vehicle.
Mr. Dixon wanted to make a comment.
If I may, I don't even know that a hearsay comment from the police administration is relevant or even admissible in court. But as the defense lawyer for the police officer, I would argue that there was a rush to justice. He was fired illegally because they were trying to find a scapegoat, and without even properly investigating the situation, they fired him and the prosecuting attorney has charged him with, clearly they didn't have all the facts at that particular time.
Okay.
So that's a big deal. That's a very
right. okay.
big deal.
And that's something I like for you to share your knowledge. Okay. But let me ask you again, why would the police department make a statement on this case and share that allegedly the victim stepped out the car? But the video clearly shows us that never happened.
You keep going back to an incompetent, irrelevant statement made by people who obviously didn't know what the heck they were talking about, and I don't know that there's any relevance in this particular case other than the fact to show how stupid the administration was, which would support an officer's claim of bias on the administrator's part when they fired him.
Okay.
I don't
Good
know
point.
Why you keep harping on that. That is just
no.
That
the
is
reason
just
why
ridiculous,
no. The reason why I harp
statement.
On that. The reason why. The reason why I keep bringing that up, because it makes me question that leadership in that community as far as the police department. It makes me question a lot of things about that department.
I don't think anybody disagrees with you that somebody needs to review that administration. It was just an outrageous,
Correct.
Ridiculous, incompetent statement.
And you got to remember what Timon said. Remember Timon said, you know, human error is all in there. And if the officer made the statement to his supervisor or whoever at the time, well, I thought he was opening the door. And then the PR person or whoever the spokesperson was for the police department jumped on there and said, well, he was opening the door to get out of the car. That could be how all that came about, even though the video came out later showing that wasn't the case. The officer simply might have been saying, I thought he was trying to open the door.
Well, that's still speculation.
It could be a number of things.
Well, I have to say this, is that Timon is still here on the board. I want to see if he wants to respond real quick. I see his number still here. Timon, are you still here?
Time
and he hasn't responded. No, he's still on the board, but Kyle, go ahead. What you were saying, you were about to say.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again, please?
No, you were about to respond to something that was just said.
I was just replying in regards to your consistent harping on a fact that clearly is not correct, and that fact, I don't think it's relevant to this particular case. Picture is worth a thousand words. Clearly, the person was inside the vehicle. And again, I just think it shows the lack of credibility for the administration, which I would argue goes to the benefit of the officer who's been charged, as to the fact that they were in a hurry to charge him and possibly, you know, try to quell the public from protests and such. And I honestly think a murder charge is overcharged in this particular case.
Hmm.
It looks to me more like a manslaughter type case.
Now, that part I will agree with you on. I will look at it as a manslaughter. You're right, because sometimes you can overcharge. See, I'm not a lawyer. You are. But I agree with you on that. As a manslaughter, not a murder case. He was not seeking out this person to kill them. Okay. But I agree with you on that. But again, I think as this case goes forward, there's going to be a lot of issues and troubles depending on who is the defense attorney for the deceased. The defense attorney for the officer. It's going to be really tough because if the prosecution, because he's been charged for murder, it's just the fact that when you look at what had occurred and, you know, you look at the video, and then, again, I'll say this. It should be problematic with the police department to make a statement that before them, I mean, you have body cams there. You should look at all that stuff. We saw the body cams. You should look at the fact the man was not outside the car. But you, whoever wrote it, I don't know who it was, jumped ahead of the gun and made a statement that was definitely not true based on the body cam. That's all I'm saying. And
I don't
that
think
is
anybody
problematic.
Disagrees with you, Mr. Gay.
All I'm saying is this. That's problematic to not just the community there, but to everybody else across the nation who sees this story of where this police department says, makes this comment, or the statement, I should say, this individual was outside of the car. No, he wasn't. And automatically, people are going to look at it where, no, it's a cover-up. Can't trust the cops in any jurisdiction because they all lie. Can't trust lawyers. Can't trust this and that. It's not good. It's not good. It makes everybody feel negative with law enforcement, with courts. The judicial system is actually falling apart, in my opinion, because people are covering for folks and not being honest when eventually the truth will come out. And we can see that already, and this hasn't even gone to trial yet, due to the video and the statements by law enforcement. Am I wrong? Or I mean, to be honest. Video don't lie.
You don't know, Mike, because the defense attorney for that officer might turn around and just say, well, whoever made that statement, that's on them because this is what my officer wrote. This is what he said. Where that came from is not on me. That's why people get fired and relocated constantly because, like you said, they jump the gun and make statements. It's going to fall back on that person who opened his mouth you know, when he should have said, it's under investigation, we don't have any comment. We're going to review the body cam footage, the videos. We're going to check the area for surveillance cameras. No comment.
Okay, so you said no comment, but here's the comical thing of what you just said. Someone was given the approval to make a statement. Someone was given the approval to make a statement on behalf of what happened. And they were wrong.
Right, and that'll fall back on
and
that
normally,
person.
And hold on. Someone made a statement on behalf of that police department now, and basically on behalf of the event that occurred. And I'm sure that Attorney Dixon will agree with me on this. If I was a lawyer, I would take that all the way to the bank. Someone spoke up on behalf of the department. Okay. I'm going to copy that and keep that for when this goes to trial, right? Someone has to be responsible. But see, at
and
this
as
point
you
in
know,
time,
as you know,
I'm,
shit
I'm not,
goes
I'm
downhill.
I'm right, but I'm almost done. So if it's not in the actual statement of who wrote that, right, and most of the time in some cases, they will put there who wrote the statement. If they don't, something ain't right. As my grandfather used to say, something in the buttermilk ain't clean. But they can always find out who shared that. That's my concern there, gentlemen, is that why would the police station who represents the community where this whole thing happened, sit up here and make a statement and then turn around and try to change it? Who did you talk to first? You just went by what the officer said? You didn't really do the investigation first before you make a statement? That's my problem. Don't speak before you know what the hell is going on. And that's what
right.
they did.
And
they
I agree with you. I agree with you. But human error plays a role. There is nothing wrote down at the scene. You got one officer talking to another officer who's talking to a supervisor who's talking to a lieutenant or a captain because they already know the media is going to be out there and a statement needs to be made. So that captain's getting his information from whoever he's getting it from to make his statement. Whether he's saying exactly what was told to him or whether he has a tongue slip on his words and says something wrong, no one knows as of yet.
Okay. That's a good point. All right, so we're going to have to get out of here in a minute because we're running out of time, and I truly appreciate you guys. We went overtime, by the way. You know, we're getting to these great discussions. I don't call them arguments. They're, they can be debates and just great discussions. So let me see if, hold on, I'm looking at the board. Let's see, Timon, are you still there? I still see him on the board. He doesn't hang up. Okay, so, all right, so let me see. Let me go back to,
what was that,
let
Mike?
Me go back to, oh, you were quiet for a moment. I reached out to you a moment ago. You didn't respond. What's your final words on this? And I'm going to have to shut this down. I'm going to go back to you.
I agree with the lawyer and Officer Crenshaw, you know,
okay.
because like you said, it could have been a manslaughter charge. And, you know, The quick second, I mean, of how you have to think as an officer and your decision-making, you know, you really, it's a tough job. It really is. And it's life or death because every time those officers go out, they're putting their life on the line. You do not know what you're dealing with. I mean, even people don't know that the number one killer of officers is domestic violence. But do I believe there in certain situations you do not need to pull your gun and maybe you could take that person down the pen? Yes. But I understand one thing for sure. It's a dangerous job. It's not an easy job. And the more eyes, I mean, if we had it to where, you know, on a certain situation, you always had backup and you're not by yourself, that way you got more eyes on the situation. Even though they give you a camera, I know at my job we don't have that. We don't have a camera on us. You know, when I worked in probation, they were in the building. But still, you know, we didn't have guns. We didn't have billy clubs. Right. They took our pepper spray, and it was more or less the criminal had more rights than we did.
Correct.
And so we used to always say, hey, if you don't write well, don't put your hands on those kids. And a lot of times, even when the officer's in this situation, because even after he has to write a report, and that report's got to add up to what he said. You know, so it's a tough job, and hopefully that more officers around the country get the training that they need so they can achieve, you know, to do the better job, to be there for the community and not be looked upon as the bad guy all the time, because it's a hard job.
Okay.
Okay,
I appreciate you chiming in, being part of the show as always, and getting into this. These are really interesting conversations, and that's what I love about it. I want to go around the board one more time and get with let me see if I still have, hopefully. Lyle, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. What's your final thoughts about this conversation? And I truly appreciate you, man. I really do. And I'd love for us to have another round table again as crime and justice keeps continuing, right?
Well, my final thoughts is that I think you need to go out and ride with a patrol officer on patrol in a marked unit and see what it's really like. I'm very pro police, but I've also worked public corruption cases. So you got to put yourself in their shoes, like was mentioned earlier.
Well, you know what I know about police officers. I said I have a lot of law enforcement in my family.
I don't care. So I don't care if you know them. You don't know what they do.
I have a lot of friends of mine that work in law.
I don't care.
I mean,
you have not seen them firsthand.
I'm trying to tell you this: is that what you recommended to me? It should not be a problem. Because the community that I live in Cobb County, Georgia, I know a bunch of officers here. So I can make that request, and, you know, I see them when they're shopping. I see them when they're, you know, just every day out of their uniforms. And I see when they come to my store and arrest folks. So that shouldn't be an issue. I can make that happen. I appreciate you recommending that for me to ride with them and see what they deal with. So I appreciate that.
That's all I have.
Okay. I appreciate it. Hey, you guys, thank you so much for joining. And by the way, yeah, I'm in a tunnel right now. But
thank you for tuning in to TMGN, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live on the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live on the TMG Network. Hey, look, we got some new shows coming up. If you guys are not aware, last Friday was the Gwen Ross hip-hop show that broadcast for the first time. We have another show that's going to be joining us soon. It's going to be Damian Reynolds has a fantastic show for, you know, you young folks out there. But we're building. We're growing. And I truly appreciate each and every one of you that tune in on Saturdays, all my guests, my special guest that I invite on. Again, this evening I want to thank Officer Crenshaw. Officer Harper wasn't able to make it, but also, Time and Ship, thank you so much. And also attorney, Mr. Lyle Dixon, for sharing his knowledge and everything. So we look forward to doing this over and over again when necessary. We can agree to disagree, but it's great for you all to hear points of view, and you decide what you want to, you know, decide on and making it better. That's all I try to look at. Go ahead, Officer Crenshaw.
Real quick, if you decide to do the ride alone, ask to do all three shifts different days. So you can experience day, evening, and night.
I will do it. I will do it. I will make it a point to try to do so. I really will. I will even make it a point with my, you know, where I work at, where I'm scheduled, where I can do, I'll do all three. I'm not, I ain't scared, but I'll do the ride along, you know. But like I said, I have family that are officers now, you know, and everything. But I know you have to sign up for the whole thing and make sure that it's, you know, documented and all that stuff. I get it, you know. But, hey, you guys, it's been an interesting conversation. Again, do me a favor and have your prayers for my right hand. She's been with me for many years. You know who I'm talking about. She's actually put together many of the shows, if not all the shows here on the Michael Gay Show. And that's Janet Davis. Again, I'll say this. She lost two family members, meaning her two dogs, in less than 12 hours. One ill. She had to put them down, and the other one, apparently it seems to us that the other one was outside looking for the other one and got hit by a car, unfortunately, and died themselves. So, yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Less than 12 hours. Okay. All right. Next Saturday, I think, I'm not going to confirm this right now, but I got a text message from the legendary Bunny DeBarge. Yes, you know DeBarge. Okay, Bunny's doing some great things. She's got a new book out and everything, and right now she's heading to Texas. She'll be back to Michigan next week, and I think we're going to be able to talk to Bunny, and you guys check out her new product, her new book. We're going to talk about that next Saturday. That's tentative, okay? So keep that in mind, all right? All right, we're going to get out of here. You've been listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Talk to you next Saturday. We'll be going live stream soon on, not Zoom. It's going to be StreamYard. Trust me. God bless. Peace. Good night.
Good night.